Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope this message opens your heart to the blessings Christ has for you.
Anybody like Spanish music? Well, I love Spanish music, and you're going to love it whether you like it or not. We're going to keep playing it, even though I don't know what the words are, and you don't either. Actually, we do know what the words of that song is. And so for many of you guys, maybe you're here for the first time, and we want to say welcome to Thousand Hills. My name is Bo Hague, and I get to pastor our amazing church, and just a joy to see you here today. But you say, well, what's that song about? Well, the title of that song is Juntos, not Juntos, but Juntos. And you say, well, what does it mean? Well, it actually means together. Together. And so today we are in part three of a series that I'm calling Juntos, Riding Together to Fulfill God's Mission. Now, here's the cool thing about our church. We've seen God do a lot of cool stuff. Anybody seen God do anything cool in the church? I mean, you're here and you're cool, right? And so we've seen God do a lot of cool things in our church. I mean, we've seen, you know, families come that have not been in church for 20 years. Some of you guys. We've seen dads come who said they would never walk into the doors of a church. We've seen marriages saved. We've seen families put back together. We've seen all kinds of things happen in our church. The greatest thing that we've seen happen is we've seen hundreds of people come to know Jesus. Amen. That is the greatest thing that we can be a part of. And here's the great thing about it. We've done it together. It's not been me alone. It's not been you alone. It's been us together. And here's what I know. If we're going to continue to reach the world, if we're going to continue to reach people, then we have to know who God has called us to be and what he's called us to do. And so we've been in this series talking about what God has called us to do together. And for the last few weeks, we've learned this. Number one was this. Together, we have a mission. Right? Together, we have a mission. You say, what's a mission? Well, a mission is what we do. And you say, well, what is our mission at Thousand Hills? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here it is right here. We lead people to ride for Christ. Say it with me. We lead people to ride for Christ. Say it one more time. We lead people to ride for Christ. And again, we had a purpose statement. It was a little long, harder to remember. We shortened it. And this is our mission statement. We are going to lead people to ride for Christ. And guess what? We're going to do it together. And we're going to enjoy that ride together. So we've learned that we have a mission, and it's called, we're called to lead people to ride for Christ. To help us fulfill our mission, listen, there is something else that God has called us to be. And that's number two. Together, we are generous. Together, we are generous. One of the goals, and I shared this last week, one of the goals of this church at Thousand Hills is that one of the goals that we have is this. We want to be a generous church. And here's the cool thing that I can tell you firsthand. I believe that we are. You know how I know that? Because people come to me all the time. Hey, man, this, you know, I heard what you did for those people. I heard what the church did. I heard, you know, what the church is doing in this situation. I heard how you guys helped this person out or this family out or whatever it was. And they know that we desire to be generous. And because, listen, because of your generosity, we've been able to make a big difference in our community and in our world. And so one of our goals is to be generous. And a part of that generosity is your giving to the church, your tithes, your offerings. One of the things that we will never apologize about at Thousand Hills is preaching about money. We're never going to apologize for it. And you say, well, why not? Well, here's why. Because God speaks about it in his word. And if I don't preach it, then I'm a foolish preacher. And I'm an idiot. Here's why. Because I'm keeping you from a true blessing from God. And so here's the thing. We're never going to apologize for it, but we're going to approach the topic because we know it's a touchy topic. We're going to approach the topic with humility and grace. Humility and grace. And here's one of my desires in our church. I want the topic of money to always be a touchy subject. I said this last time, but I want it to always be a touchy subject. And you say, why? Because here's why. If everybody in the church understands what tithing is, then we're not reaching new people that don't understand the generosity of God. Are you with me? In other words, if everybody already knows what tithing is, that means we don't have anybody new in our church, right? And so if we don't have anybody new in our church, then we're not fulfilling the mission of our church, which is to lead more and more people to ride for Christ. And so we always want it to be a little bit touchy. Again, we're not going to point you out. I don't know who gives. I don't know who doesn't give. I don't know any of that. But here's the truth. We are always going to talk about the subject of money and tithing and those things because God talks about those things. And we're going to be obedient to him. And we're going to do it with, again, humility and grace. We answered this question last time we were here. What would happen if everyone in our church were generous to God? What would happen if everybody in our church was giving back to God their tithe? Here's the answer that I gave last week, it's still true this week. Here's the answer. God would be more generous to us. That's the bottom line. You say, what would happen if everybody was generous back to God? What would happen if everybody brought back a tenth of their of their income back to God? The truth is that God would be more generous to you. And God would be more generous to the church. And you say, well, how do you know? Look at 2 Corinthians 9. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a what? A small crop. But one who plants generously will get a? Generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Again, I'm not going to pressure you. I'm going to share truth with you. Then you get to decide. So don't give, in response to pressure. For God loves a person who what? Gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. It's an amazing, amazing scripture right there. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their deeds will be remembered. How long? Forever. Here's the bottom line. When we sow generously, guess what God's going to do? He's going to help us reap generously, right? And so together we are generous. And to do that, to be generous, guess what? This was number one last week. We have to stop believing the liar. The liar. Again, you say, well, who's the liar? Well, it's the devil. The devil, when he speaks, he lies. And guess what his lies are? Those are his native language. And one of the sneakiest ways that he lies to people is about money. He gives you this idea of, hey, that money's yours. Hey, if you just had more of it, you'd be happy. Hey, the preacher just wants your money. Remember that lie? It's wrong to talk about money in church. You can't afford to give your tithe. It's a lie. Your little bit, that you give won't make a difference. These are the lies of the devil. And when you believe him and I believe him, guess what? He wins. He wins. You miss out on the blessing. You miss out on the peace. You say, what are the blessings? Well, sometimes, obviously, he provides financial resources so that you can pay your bills. And a lot of times, he provides finances so that you can actually enjoy some of your wants. Anybody ever experienced that? When you give back to God, God, it provides for your needs and gives you some things that you want. Can you raise your hand and join me on that? He does it. That's what he does when we are generous to him. And so we have to stop believing the lies and trust God's word that says it's always better to give than to receive. And so the first thing that we got to do when it comes to generosity is we got to stop believing the liar. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you, go listen online. You can listen to the message online, thousandhillsranch.church, or you can get on iTunes, download, subscribe to our channel there, or our, you know, our podcast there, and you can listen to it anywhere you go. I mean, I encourage you to do it, because here's why. The devil's winning in some of your lives. He doesn't want you to listen to the message. He wants you to live in deceit. And he wants you to think that the church just wants your money. And you are missing out on a blessing because you're believing the liar. Here's the second thing that comes when it comes to generosity. And this is where I want to focus today. The second thing is this. Love should be our motive for being generous. Love should be our motive for being generous. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but how many, and you guys, you can lie if you want, but how many of you have ever been guilty of spending lots of money on something that you love? I'm going to pick on a few of you today. It's hunting season, right? It's hunting season. So if this is scary. Some of you guys are going to be scared by this, but if you were to add up how much money you've spent on hunting stuff, it'd be crazy, right? And some of you guys are laughing over here because you know it's true. Oh, yeah, I got to have that new gun. This gun, it's kind of wore out a little bit. I mean, it has a little bit of rust in there. I didn't clean it. So I got to have that gun, you know, and I got to have three just in case, right? I got to get that safe. It holds 21 guns. I need a safe that has 40, right? I got to get that blind because I'm on this stinking, you know, ground right now, and these turkey can see me. I got to get up. You know, or I gotta have all the latest stuff. I gotta have that diamond plate box to haul all my dogs in so that we can go shoot some birds, right? I mean, seriously, some of you guys are like, that ain't me, I don't hunt. Well, what about roping? Some of you guys rope, right? Yeah, if we were to add up all the money that you spend on horses, come on now, all the money that you spend on the trailers, all the money that you spend on the ropes, I mean, get this. Some of you guys don't ride horses, you may not know this, but it costs about, this is on the cheap side, $75 to shoe a horse. Guess how often that some people do that? Every 6 weeks. Think about it. Think about if you spent $75 on new shoes for you every 6 weeks. Again, you say, well, what's the point? Well, some of you guys are grease monkeys, right? You guys like to turn some wrenches, right? I mean, you love it. So what do? You go by the, on Black Friday, you go by the Craftsman, you know, pull out drawers. I mean, you got all this tool stuff, you know, and you I got to fill it up, right? So you go buy all these, you know, these fancy tools because you love turning wrenches. Some of you ladies, you got to have that purse. I mean, you got to have that bling. You got to have those boots. You got to have all those clothes. I mean, all those things, again, you spend your money on them because you love them. Can I pick on the kids? Technology. Man, I got to have that iPad. I got to have that iPhone. I got to have those earbuds. You know what I'm saying? And why do we spend our money on it? Because we love those things, right? And so the point is this. I'll pick on myself because I picked on you guys. I'll pick on myself. I love spending money on cowboy stuff. We go to the WRCA. We went a couple weeks ago. I save up all my money and I spend it all in one weekend. I'm just telling you, this is just what I do. And you can judge me, but don't judge me because don't cast the first stone. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just what I do. You say, well, what do you like to buy? Well, I like to buy handmade things. I've got this curse of if anybody else has it, I don't want it. I want the one thing that nobody else has. I want the handmade thing that doesn't look like anybody else's. I've just got to have it, and whether it's boots or bits or whatever it is. I've got to have it because I love those things. Therefore, guess what I do? I spend my money on it. Here's the point. The same should be true with God. If we love God, then we will gladly bring back a portion of what he's given us because we love him. Amen? John 14:15. Listen to the words of Jesus himself. If you what? You will keep my commandments. If we love God, we will keep his commandments. I hear this all the time, and I'm going to have to just confess to you that I've thought these thoughts, but I hear this all the time. And this may be a little upfront for you guys, but just take it on the chin. Ready? I hear people come to me and they go, "Hey, Bo, I love the church, man. I love it. The church is so awesome. I mean, my marriage is saved because of the church. My kids, they walk away from church every week and they get to hear, you know, the Bible. I mean, you know, my marriage is saved. I'm not in jail anymore." Some of you guys are like, "Who's that guy?" I mean, my kids are growing in the Lord because of the church. I love the church. Now, here's the confession. Sometimes, and this is, again, maybe wrong or maybe right, I've looked at them and I've never said this out loud, but I've wanted to ask them, does your giving match your love for our church? I mean, I don't know how else to say that, but does your giving match your love, or are you just talk? Have you put your money, so to speak, where your mouth is? Are you just a consumer, or are you a contributor? And you say, "Bo, what are you saying? I have to give a bunch of money for you to love me and serve me?" No, listen. We are going to love everybody. We are going to serve you whether you ever give or not. But here's the truth. If you truly love the church, if you truly love God, then you are going to give back to him. The proof is in the pudding. And here's the thing. If you say, "Bo, you just want my money." No, again, go back and listen to the message. I don't need your money. I'm taken care of because I give, not because you give. But here's the fact. It's not about an amount. Some people are like, "Well, I just can't give very much. I mean, that guy over there, he gives 10 grand a month. I wished." But, you know, "I just can't give much. I mean, it's not going to make a difference." Don't believe that lie. Again, we can do more together than we can alone. But here's the other side of it. It's not about an amount. It's about your heart. It's about your heart, right? And you say, "Bo, how do you know that?" Well, listen to the example of the widow woman in the scriptures. Luke 21. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in how many? Two small coins. Listen to Jesus. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given the tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything that she has." Again, it's not about an amount. It's about your heart. Why did this widow woman give the money, the two coins? Why did she do it? Because she loved Jesus. It wasn't because she loved the preacher. It wasn't because the preacher's, you know, he can preach real good, or the music's real good, or all that stuff. No, she loved Jesus. Therefore, she gave to Jesus. Not a man, not a woman, not anybody else. She gave back to Jesus. I heard a pastor say it this way. You can't have a loving heart without a generous spirit. Can't do it. I heard one say it this way as well. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. I mean, I can give without loving. I can give crab apples, you know, corn cobs stuck up my butt, sour puss. I can give all my money and it's still wrong. But if I truly love, I'm going to give. I'm just going to give, because you can't have that without, you know, doing that. Here's another story I heard. A pastor had a businessman come to him one time and told him, you know, "I don't know how you do it." Again, a businessman's talking to the pastor. "I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do what you do. Every week you pour your heart out, you give, you do all this stuff. You provide for the kids, you know, provide a place for them to worship. You provide all these things for them. And a lot of the people that come to your church don't give a dime." This was a businessman talking to a pastor. And he said, "I don't know how you do it. In my business, if people came and they got something and they didn't pay for it, that's called theft." Robbing from God. Robbing. And so you say, well, what's the point? Well, again, we are going to serve you no matter what. But if you come and you say, I'm going to consume all this, but I'm not going to give back, I'm not going to contribute, again, you're the one who's missing out on the blessing. And I'll just say it this way. I don't need your money, but this church needs your money so that we can continue to do what we're doing. We've got two barns in the dry, and everybody asks me, are they done? They look done. And I always say, no, they're not done. And they say, well, when are you going to be done? I always say this, 2027. That way I don't have to eat crow. If it happens earlier than that, then it's going to happen. But here's the point. We have needs just like everybody else. And God wants to provide, but to provide, guess what? He's asked you to be obedient. He's asked you to truly show him the love that you have for him. And so here, let me speak direct to some of you today. You ready? And I want you to open up your heart to hear this. Until you get tithing in the right order in your life is going to always be out of order. I mean, I have people come to me and they say, Bo, I can't pay the bills. Falls short. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to do this and all that. And here's the thing. We're always going to show compassion to them. And we're always going to help them out because, again, we believe in generosity. But at the end of the day, here's what I want to ask them. And I do ask some of them. Do you tithe? Because here's what I know about Jesus. When I tithe and I give back whatever it is that I have, the 10% that I have, when I give that back to the Lord, whether I think I have it or not, guess what he does? He provides for every need that I have. I've never gone hungry. I've always had a roof over my head. I've got more clothes than I can wear. All those things. My kids have always been provided for. You know why? Because God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if I give back, guess what? He's going to take care of my needs, and he'll do it for you too. So again, we're going to always provide for people. But if you feel discontent in your life, if you feel, you know, like, oh, I never have enough money, or, you know, I have a lack of money, or, you know, the reason that you're always coming up short, listen, it may be because you're not living in obedience to God. Here's the cool thing. It doesn't have to be true. You can decide today that you're going to give what God has asked you to give, and he can begin to bless you like he wants to bless you. And so you say, Bo, well, who are we showing our love for when we're generous? Two things and I'm done. You ready? Who are we showing our love for? If love is the motive for generosity, who are we showing our love for? Here's number one. We're showing our love for God. How many of you have ever looked at your stuff? You looked at your business or your, you know, your ranch and your stuff and your trucks and your horses, and you think, man, I deserve a little credit here. I mean, I've worked my butt off. See all this stuff? I've sweat my butt off doing this. I've worked hard. I deserve a little credit for a lot of this stuff that you see right here. Here's the thing. And some of you guys have never thought that because you're too spiritual, but I've thought it. But here's the truth. I'd have nothing without God. The money that you think you made, God gave to you. The wife that you have, God gave to you. The kids that you have, God gave to you. The husband that you have, like him or not, God gave him to you. The kids, again, the kids are from God. Please believe that. The breath that you take, the truck that you drive, the car that you drive, the eyes that you have, the ears that you have, the hair or the lack of, it's all a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. And so you say, when you're generous, who am I showing my love for? You're showing your love for God. You say, what else? Well, we show our love for the world. We show our love for God. when we're generous and we show our love for the world. Look at John 3:16. Look at what God says. You know it. For God so loved who? The world that he gave. It doesn't say, for God so loved himself that he gave. It doesn't say, for God so loved those people that come to church all the time, he gave. It doesn't say, God so loved the people, you know, that are really spiritual and don't cuss, and he gave. No, it doesn't say that. Who does it say? He says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And you say, what did he give? He gave his one and only son. Can I just let you on another secret? I'm into secrets today. I would not give my kids up for you. I love you, but I'd never give my kids up for you. I would die for some of you. Did I just say some? Sorry about that. That was just a truth. It just slipped out. I would die for some of you. I would die, again, for my family, but I'm not going to let my kids die for you. But here's the cool thing. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that you might be saved and experience eternal life. And that's nothing that money can buy. Nothing. And so he loved the world. He loved sinners. He loved saints. He loved the good. He loved the bad. He loved men, women, boys, and girls. He loved them all, and he gave his son to show that love. And so here's the point. How does your generosity allow us to show the world that we love them? How does it allow us at the church to show the world that we love them? Here's three phrases that I've come up with. You ready? Three phrases. We show that we love the world through our generosity because we gather. We gather. You say, what's that mean? If I'm going out, let's say I'm going to go gather my cows, I'm going to go gather them up. Why? Because I'm going to work them. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to worm them. I'm going to give them shots. I'm going to blackleg, whatever. I'm going to give them all those things. Why? So that they can be healthy and reproduce, right? I want them to reproduce. And so we gather them so that they're going to, you know, again, they can be a healthy cow. Here's the point. When we love the world, guess what? We're going to love them enough to go out and gather them. You say, how do you show that you love the world? We are going to gather them. Here's what we do. When we come to church and we just sit in our, you know, comfortable chairs, some of you guys got the cushion chairs, some of you guys got the metal. But when we sit in our comfortable chairs and we never leave this place and share the good news of Jesus, you know what we're saying to the world? Go to hell. You're not worthy of my time. You're not worthy of the blessings that I have. You're not worthy of the Jesus that I have. You're not worthy of anything. And we hide the salvation and the forgiveness of God. So you say, well, how is Thousand Hills going to show the world that we love them? We are going to gather them up. We're going to go out and gather them up. And here's something else that I've learned. When I've gathered cattle, usually in almost every case, I have to open a gate. Right? Open the gate to the corrals, open the gate to the next pasture. I mean, sometimes you'll gather the cows into a corner, the gate will be closed, you get all the cows in the corner, then the one cowboy rides up and he opens the gate, right? So that we can get them to another safe pasture, or we can get them closer to the house so we can keep an eye on them. Here's the thing, we are called to open gates so that people can experience the love of Jesus. We're gonna gather them up. And here's the cool thing, you say, well, how do we open gates? Well, we have to have events that open the door for us to mix and mingle and play in the dirt with people. We have to hire staff so that we can open the gate so that more people can be reached, not just by one person, but by many people. We're going to have events. We're going to have all kinds of things so that we can reach more people. Guess what? It all takes money. It all does. And so these gates, they have to be open so that we can gather others to Christ. Here's the second thing. Once we've gathered them, we're going to outfit them. We gather, we outfit. How do we show the world that we love them? We're going to gather them up. We're going to show them the love of Jesus. They're going to hopefully come to know Jesus, and then we're going to outfit them. Think about it. If you're a runner, right? You're a runner. My wife's a runner. Guess what? She has to have a lot of outfits. I mean, she sweat through that one. I got to have another one, you know, right? I mean, I got it. This one's wore out. I mean, these shoes, I mean, I can't tell you how many pairs of shoes my wife has bought. But that's not the point. I'm just getting it off my chest. but here's the thing. We want to outfit people that come to know Christ so that they can be ready to serve him more. Again, we're gonna outfit them. Look at Ephesians 4. It says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to what? Equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so you say, what does it mean to outfit people? Listen, we're going to lead them to Jesus. We're going to feed them the Word of God. We're going to teach them to feed themselves the Word of God. We're going to provide events that they can come to so that they can grow in their, you know, relationship with God. We're going to give them an opportunity to serve on a team so that they can grow in their service to God. We're going to give them opportunities and we're going to equip them and outfit them by giving them what we call ranch groups so that they can have more Christ-centered friendships. And so we're going to gather them and we're going to outfit them. And then here's the third thing and I'm done. You ready? We're going to ride back out. We're going to gather, we're going to outfit, and we're going to ride back out. Look at Mark 16:15. It says, and then he told them, go into what? All the world and preach the good news to everyone. Here's a fact. You ready? Our mission to lead people to ride for Christ is never gonna be over. It's never gonna end. It's never gonna be done. We're never gonna be done reaching the world. Why? Because people are born every day. I mean, kids are born every day. There are people all across the world that don't know Jesus. They've never heard the name of Jesus. Again, it's a big world, and we are committed to not only gather once, not only outfit, but we are called to ride back out. We will not sit on our butts and enjoy the comforts that are so easily taken in our own little Christian corral and not ride back out and gather more people. So we gather, we outfit, and we ride back out. That's how we show the world that we love them. And that's what your generosity allows us to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's some questions that I have for you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, and again, you say, why do you ask people to bow their heads and close their eyes? Well, here's the main reason. To be honest, we can focus better. I mean, if I'm able to look around and do all these things, I have ADD, and I'm gonna see everything. So simply, we just ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, so that you can kind of focus and reflect, and hopefully God can speak to you. And so here's a question. Where does God line up when it comes to your finances? Is your generosity toward God, is it at the top of your checkbook? Or is it at the bottom, the middle, when it's convenient? Oh, we got a little extra, we'll pay a little. This is just, you know, out of, you know, our blessing or whatever. Is it at the top or is it the middle or is it the bottom? Here's God's desire. He wants to be the Lord of everything in your life. And you say, Bo, I give my time. Well, great. He's the Lord of your time. You say, Bo, I give in, you know, other ways. I serve on a team. Good. He's the Lord of your service. You say, well, you know, I give every now and then, and when special events come around, I buy boxes for kids. Good. That's very generous, and we do thank you for that. But does that make him the Lord of your money? Does that make him the Lord of your life? Or just your time and your gifts every now and then? Again, the Lord wants to be the Lord of every part of our lives. And so what does your spending say that you love most? I hope that it says that you love God most. God has given you a great blessing in this church. He's given me a great blessing in this church. And because he has blessed me and because he's blessed us, my desire, and I hope it's yours, is to give back to him in honor of him. Not out of just convenience, but even out of sacrifice sometimes. Even out of just obedience sometimes. Even though you don't have it sometimes. You're going to give to God because you love him above everything else in life. Listen, that's what he blesses. And that's what he's going to be generous back toward you when you're generous toward him. So some of you need to make a commitment today. Some of you, the church isn't growing maybe like it should because you're not giving. And God says, hey, Bo, I want to bless you, but these people, they're not making me the first in their finances. So I can't, I want to bless them, but they're withholding their blessing to me. So I'm going to withhold all my blessings from them. And so maybe you need to make a commitment to say, okay, God, I'm going to stop believing the liar. I'm going to make love my motive, and I'm going to give it to you, not the preacher. I'm going to give it to the church, not because of the music, not because of all those things. I'm just going to give it to you because I love you, and I'm making a commitment to make you the number one priority of my finances. Listen, I hope that everybody in this room will make that commitment. I hope that you will. Again, your life will always be out of order until you get your priorities in the right order. And so my wish and my desire is for you to be blessed and for this church to continue to be blessed, for us to be able to reap even more than what we've reaped before. And so I'm praying and I'm asking you to give generously to the Lord. And let's watch what he can do through us juntos, together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach about money today. Thank you for the opportunity to share with people how they can be released from the lies of the devil. Thank you for the opportunity to share with people truths that can set them free. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church, that you would impress on the hearts, convict the hearts of those that don't give back to you, and that they would, again, they would commit today to say, God, I'm going to make you not only a Lord of my time, not only a Lord of my, gifts, but the Lord of my money. Because it's not my money, it's your money. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody in this room would make that commitment today and that they would begin to give generously their tithes back to you. Lord, thank you that you promised to take care of us. No matter the amount, no matter how much we think it is or how much we don't think it is, you will take care of us if we are generous to you. And so we love you, Lord, and we love the world enough that we're going to be generous so that we can reach them. And so thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for Thousand Hills Ranch Church. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you've made a commitment today, you can get in touch with us at thousandhillsranch.church or call us at 580-216-6427. We ride to be generous and we celebrate the cheerful giver. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church and click on the Give tab to give your tithes and offering today. Have a blessed week.